From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. A province in central China is reeling after a massive 7.9 magnitude earthquake. Nearly 10,000 people are believed dead in Sichuan province alone. That's according to official Chinese news reports. It is the deadliest earthquake to hit China in three decades. It hit in the middle of the day at 2:28 p.m., a time when people were at work, kids at school. And when the earthquake struck, my co-host Melissa Block and Robert Siegel were in Chengdu, the capital of Sichuan province. They were about 60 miles southeast of the epicenter. Melissa and Robert just happened to be in China, preparing for a week-long series for All Things Considered, a series scheduled to begin next Monday. Melissa was in downtown Chengdu, conducting an interview in a church meeting room.
My position is to help my colleague or my pastors to pastor the church or to grow in the church, to plant the church.
What's going on? The whole building is shaking. The whole building is shaking.
Oh
my goodness. Oh my goodness. We're in the middle of an earthquake?
Earthquake,
the whole block is shaking.
Yeah.
Pieces, the top of the church is falling down. The ground is shaking underneath our feet and all of the people are running out in the street. As we're standing here, birds are flying. The ground is undulating under my feet. The cross on the top of the church is waving wildly, and bricks are falling off of the ceiling, falling off of the roof. People are huddled together here on the street. The ground is still waving. The shaking seems to be slowing down. You can still feel vibrations underneath. Everybody has run out on the street. There are crowds gathered. Somebody is naked.
After the quake hit, Melissa traveled to one of the areas hardest hit by the disaster. I talk with Melissa afterwards.
Michelle, I just left the Jiwan Middle School, which is near the city of Dujiangyan. It's about 50 miles from the epicenter. The middle school was pretty much completely destroyed in this earthquake today, and there are dozens and dozens of bodies of middle school children that have been brought out. They have been laid on the ground without any covering until parents can identify them. And when they identify them, understandably, the parents collapse in waves of grief. The bodies are then wrapped in shrouds and brought under plastic sheeting. It's raining here. It's the middle of the night. They're brought under plastic tarps, and the families have set up little altars. They're burning candles and lighting incense and burning paper money, and some are setting off firecrackers to usher their children in the afterlife and to ward off evil spirits.
Oh, Melissa, it sounds like it's so difficult to actually witness this and turn around and report on something you just saw.
It was just—it's a lot of kids. It was a big school, and there are dozens and dozens, and they're bringing them out now. It's, you know, many, many hours after the earthquake. It's coming up on 12 hours. They have huge number of big cranes that have been brought in. It's the middle of the night, but they're illuminated, and they're trying to lift off these huge, huge pieces of masonry. And as they do, they're finding more and more victims. I will say there's one. The one hopeful note is that there were lots and lots of ambulances there, and occasionally, in fact, we're driving down the highway now behind an ambulance, possibly with a student from that school, I don't know. But there were ambulances there, and they were taking out some survivors, but mostly what I saw was victim upon victim upon victim of this school collapse. And I should say that right next door to the middle school was an elementary school that was perfectly intact.
Melissa, earlier in the day it was reported that rescuers were having a very hard time getting into the epicenter. It sounds like relief, the rescue effort is able to get into that area now.
Well, we did hear some complaints that when the Army first arrived, they didn't have the equipment. The equipment is there now. And keep in mind, we're still 50 miles away from the epicenter. This was a middle school that was destroyed. We heard about a hospital nearby that was also destroyed. Our co-host, Robert Siegel, was at that hospital. We'll be reporting on the scene there. So you can just imagine in places where the devastation was even more extensive. I mean, everywhere around this school, there were buildings still standing. This school, for whatever reason, shoddy construction, bad luck, whatever it was, this school took a huge, huge hit, and many, many children died there today.
In the area where you're at now, have you felt aftershocks there? And since it's in the middle of the night, are people back indoors or are they sleeping out on the streets under tents?
I haven't felt any aftershocks, although I know there have been many and they have been fairly substantial. People have been outdoors all the way up on the main road, a big highway up to this area. We saw people outside in their cars alongside the road. I saw a lot of people playing cards to pass the time, playing card games. It is now raining, and I have not yet seen where these people have gone. I don't think there's much incentive for anyone to go back inside. Where we were just now in the village, people were huddled under tarpaulins. People had set up tents. They had brought out umbrellas, and they were waiting through the night. And again, at this school, there were hundreds and hundreds of families who did not know the fate of their children, were not getting good information, and were just in this desperate waiting game to see if their child had survived.
Melissa, outside of the school, were you able to travel at all in the area? Are there any other parts of the city or the region that you were able to get to?
We went to the school. We spent as much time there as we could. We were surrounded by an angry mob and police, and we were forced to leave the scene. And that was what we saw in the time that we were there.
Melissa, the mob that you described that surrounded you, why were they angry at you? Why was that anger targeted toward you?
Well, we had a microphone and a camera. The first people to approach us were in uniform, and they grabbed us by our arms and pulled us away. And as that scene became obvious, other people gathered. I mean, it's understandable that tensions are extremely high. These are people in extreme amounts of pain and anxiety. And we heard the sentiment that, you know, these people are grieving, leave them alone. We did find a number of people who wanted to talk to us who were very upset, obviously, and upset by their lack of information that they were being given, and did not mind talking to us at all. And we certainly didn't approach grieving family members. You know, there's a strong police presence and a strong military presence, and we were escorted out very quickly.
Melissa, please stay safe, and I know we'll be speaking to you again and soon.
Okay, thanks, Michelle.
That's my co-host, Melissa Block. She's now back in Chengdu, and she and Robert Siegel will continue to report on the latest from Sichuan Province. Now, we're also following the story at our blog. That's where you can find photographs and eyewitness accounts. You can find that at npr.org/China Diary.